so much for coming. I emailed some people a quote from Margaret Mead that I love. She said, never doubt that a group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. So I want to welcome all you thoughtful, committed citizens for coming tonight. And I include in that all our people from VDOT, because they too are thoughtful, committed citizens. They are residents of the Commonwealth too. We are going to have, I'll go through the agenda first before I introduce anybody. We have a panel over here of the gentlemen who have come from hither and yon, from Leesburg and Richmond and Culpeper, and to be with us tonight. And over here we have advocates for free unions. And VDOT has a presentation that they tell me takes about 25 minutes. Following that, the advocates for the free union community will have about 15 minutes, because we don't have the audio visual, to present the case for keeping the free union maintenance facility open and intact. Following that, there will be a question and answer session of about 30 minutes. Audience members are invited to present questions and comments to the panelists with a time limit of 2 minutes per person, and I brought a timer. I did not bring a hook, but I do have a timer. And we ask that you withhold questions and comments until the question and answer session begins, following VDOT's presentation and the Free Union Advocates' response. It is our intention that everyone be heard. I want everyone to be heard. That's the point of having this tonight. And I want to thank everyone who's joined us here tonight, with special thanks to the officials from the Virginia Department of Transportation who have traveled so far to help us understand what is going on and how we may help to influence the future of our Commonwealth. And as an aside, I would like to invite you all to come to the Free Union Christmas tree lighting, which will be at 4:30 this Sunday in front of Dr. Campbell's office. It's the 50th anniversary of this ceremony, so it's a big to-do. Santa Claus is arriving with Clydesdales, and we'll have the usual bonfire and cookies and hot chocolate and all. And we would love it if you could all come to that too. Now, for the Free Union panel, we have Dick Hayden and Joanne Hayden, who are also instrumental in setting up this meeting and doing a lot of research, and they went to the first meeting in Culpeper. And Dave Wyant and Dennis Rooker, the supervisor from the Board of Supervisors. And I thank you all for coming. And on this side, Gary Allen has not made it here yet. Is that correct?
No. Janice, if you're more comfortable, I'd be more than happy to certainly introduce our VDOT colleague.
Well, then I introduce Mona Zai Salehi, and I turn it over to you. Thank you
very much. Good evening to you. My name is Murtaza Salehi. I'm the VDOT District Administrator for Culpeper District. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate you all coming here. It's a part of our responsibility to come here and make sure that we hear your comments and your concerns and your input and your feedback. Let me just introduce, next to me I have Milton Thacker, who is what we call Culpeper District Maintenance Engineer. On my right, you know Butch Davies a lot more than I, more than everybody else. Mr. Davies is our Commonwealth Transportation Board. He's a member of our CTD, and of course you know Dennis Rooker. Dennis Rooker is as an easy introduction for me. We are waiting for two individuals who are the main speakers and the main contributors, and both of them are coming from Richmond. We have Ms. Connie Sorrell, who is the Chief of System Operations and Maintenance Programs, are one of the functions and divisions under Connie Sorrell. We are also, I think I hear Connie Sorrell coming. It was just the right timing. And I think the next gentleman who is following Connie is Dr. Gary Allen. Gary Allen is in charge of the Research Council, and he's the Chief of VDOT's System Technology and Research. And you will see that. Connie, good evening to you. Come on in.
But happily, you get a chair.
We have one short.
We got one more.
I'll pass it around.
Oh,
I don't need to be up front.
There's a chair for somebody to sit. You saw the numbers.
I saw the one they carried here.
So, without the teaching all of the above, just quickly, we're going to talk about system operations. And she's in Richmond, and she's got maintenance programs and system operations programs and engineering programs all under control. And here on my left, we've got Adam Sumter. Adam is our resident engineer for college residency. He has got the area headquarters in this area under his supervision. I told you about Milton Thatcher, is our designation center here. We talked about Mr. Butch Baby.
I'm going to interrupt you because people in the back can't hear.
Okay.
So to talk in our
Do you want me to come over there? Or is this,
that's just a TV mic.
Okay.
Project.
Project. There's a limit on my ability to be heard long distance, but I will try.
Maybe that way, megaphone.
That's all I have to say. I think it's with that.
You may want to introduce him at Hanger, who's in the back.
Dr. Hanger. Good to have you here, sir. Welcome.
There's a seat down here.
There's a seat down here, Dr. Hanger. Please come on over.
TikTok. Thank you for coming.
Go back to the agenda.
Well, my apologies for just walking in the door.
Let's see if I can. Left button on the bottom. One more down.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm here on behalf of Commissioner Eckern this evening. Can you hear me in the back? No? I got some yeses and some noes. Okay. I will try to speak as loudly as I can. The purpose of this meeting is to give you an overview of a plan that we have put in a draft form, and the purpose of these meetings is to hear whatever concerns a community might have about that plan. We are going to discuss the local factors in the proposals that have been made, and our purpose here today is to collect the information in your comments and put those together for Commissioner Eckern to make a final decision about the consolidation of some of our facilities. Okay. Trying to do is to reduce our administrative overhead and be more efficient and streamline some of our operations. One of the other things that is a part of our business plan is the legislature passed a bill last session that requires all interstate maintenance in the state of Virginia to be outsourced to the private sector. And so we are looking at which area headquarters are along the interstate and how we may change how we deploy the workforce that we do have. And also pay for the private sector work that's going to be done. So as we outsource more work to the private sector, we must adjust our workforce and where it's deployed, and how to best use our facilities. Over quite a number of years, the department has looked at this particular type of consolidation off and on. Over a 20-year period, we've gone from being about a 13,000-person agency to being a little over 9,000. So, and the way we've done that is try to be more efficient and find better ways of doing business. So we've completed an 8-month study, and this study was presented to the General Assembly on September the 8th, and the study was to look at the over 300 properties that VDOT owns, and because we own them, they're not on the tax payrolls. Localities don't get any money for that. And to look to see, did we really need those? Is there a better way we could be organized and still deliver the same service that we've delivered in the past? So after an extensive amount of study with quite a lot of data, we presented a plan to the Commonwealth Transportation Board and back in September. And we did some more studying as a result of that meeting and produced the final proposal that was announced on November the 2nd. At the time that was announced, our commissioner indicated that there would be an opportunity for the public and local government entities to have an opportunity to have a say. The goal is to have all the various meetings around the state about this, and that our commissioner would get all this information and it would go back to him, and he would be making a decision by the 15th of December. And while we might begin to do some of the pre-steps with implementation, we really were looking at not doing the implementation of all of them, at least until after the winter season is over. So the bottom line on this is that we really were looking at how many supervisors do we need to manage work in the counties, and how many physical facilities did we need to operate out of. So with that, I think I'll ask Gary Allen. Dr. Allen is the head of our research facility, and he and his staff are largely responsible for the study work that was done. So.
Thank you, Connie. Let me apologize for our being late. It was out of our control. I do apologize. I know everyone's time is valuable. And I'm sorry that we made you wait. Let me tell you that we didn't enter into this examination, this analysis, lightly. We take the service that is provided by maintenance employees very seriously. This is not at all about the quality of work that's provided throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia or in the Free Union Area headquarters by the very good employees that are here. It's not about that at all, because we know that quality of work is outstanding, and we know the people are dedicated. We have been very, very careful throughout the course of the last year to create headroom through attrition and natural other ways of creating vacancies, so that we have enough vacancies to implement a consolidation plan across the Commonwealth without having dramatic negative impacts on employees. And that's a critical factor for us. We also are very concerned about maintaining safety and maintaining service levels. We're not walking away from that at all. Not one crew member, not one crew member will be reduced in this process from the standpoint of those people who are delivering service throughout the state. I've had the opportunity over the course of the last 3 weeks to participate in eight out of the 12 public hearings that have been held across the state. I want to make sure you understand that no decisions have been made. No decisions have been made. The public meetings that we're going through right now are an integral part of our analysis. The information we are gathering in these public meetings will become part of a formal record, and it will become part of a decision brief and a very formal deliberation by the Commonwealth Transportation Commission for each district in the state. So we are still in the process of examination. I want to make sure that I emphasize that. No decisions have been made. What you see tonight, what you've seen published, is a plan. It is a proposal. We may be making decisions to change that plan based upon what we hear tonight. As Connie said, there were two essential questions that we examined. How many superintendents do we need statewide to manage and oversee the work in the maintenance area? And then how many facilities do we need to operate from? In terms of addressing these questions, we started out with a steering committee that was comprised of people who have done maintenance in the field throughout the Commonwealth for many years. That steering committee was chaired by the director, the state director of the maintenance division, who is a former resident engineer, who spent most of his career in the field, in the maintenance arena. We also had on that steering committee the senior most district administrator in the Commonwealth, who spent his career in the Bristol District and in the Lynchburg District. We had a 35-year employee who's a resident engineer in the Lexington Residency, who's familiar with mountainous terrain, who's familiar with operating in very difficult situations on that steering committee. We had the chairman of the Resident Engineers Committee, a statewide committee that includes every resident engineer in the state. The study team was led by a former resident engineer from the Charlottesville area with 30 years of experience leading and conducting maintenance. With that steering committee, we were led to examine a number of factors for this study. We took a look at lane miles that are covered by area superintendents around the state, population, area, population growth, vehicle miles of travel, all of those factors that are important in terms of how you conduct maintenance, what kind of wear and tear there are on the roads, and how you need to respond in emergencies. Response time was a critical piece of this review. We collected actual data across the Commonwealth about what current response times are, both for ordinary maintenance and for emergencies. And we know that in many, many instances, on the secondary system, our response times can be as much as 45 minutes. Would we like them to be less? Yes. But is that acceptable? Yes, it is. In the view of the maintenance managers throughout the Commonwealth, for ordinary maintenance operations, a 45-minute response time for a maximum response is reasonable. In bad weather, we also know that we have to be able to respond in a period of time that will allow us to place de-icing chemicals in a repetitive manner, rapidly enough, so that we don't get bonding of the ice to the pavement. The first response we always make is to the interstate and the primary road system. That's a policy we follow across the state, and we don't vary from it. Secondary roads normally do not get chemical applications until after we have dealt with the primary system. And we have made absolutely certain in our proposal that we can respond to the primary and then get to the secondary system in a manner that is consistent with what we have been doing up to this point. The review that we have conducted did not stop at that point. When the steering committee and the study team developed a candidate list of number of area superintendents that we need statewide, number of supervisors we need, number of fiscal assistants we need, and number of facilities that we need. That information was taken to each district administrator, and they, along with their district maintenance engineers and each of their residency administrators, reviewed that information and made decisions based upon their knowledge of their own local environment about what the best approach to take was. The plan that we have at this point, and the one that we will be listening to you talk about tonight, is a plan that each of the districts developed. This was not selected by an ivory tower group of folks who know nothing about local conditions and who simply did this by looking at a piece of paper. Districts had a significant role in this. Another important step in this process was that in early October, during a two-day period, every district administrator and all of the members of the commissioner's staff, including the commissioner and the chief deputy, reviewed the plan, made some changes to that plan, made a determination to move forward to provide that plan for review by the Commonwealth Transportation Board. In addition, that plan was reviewed by the Secretary of Transportation. The next step in the process, before any decisions are made, is to take that plan to the public. And that's where we are tonight. That would go back. Okay. Statewide, the plan includes a proposed reduction in facilities from 335 facilities to 244. The vast majority of those 91 facilities that we're targeting for consolidation have no people located at them, the vast majority. We're proposing in the plan to operate from 176 fully staffed, fully supervised area headquarters across the state. We're proposing to reduce over the next 18 to 24 months from 213 area superintendents to 181. There will be other adjustments in supervisory ranks as opportunities occur through attrition. 12 area headquarters that are fully staffed, fully supervised, that have area superintendents, full complements of equipment, will potentially be retained for other uses. They may not operate as full-fledged area headquarters. They may become what are called sub-area headquarters, where you may have crews operating from either part of the year or all of the year. There would be a supervisor there perhaps, but not a superintendent. Those decisions have not been made either. 56 other facilities of various sorts, chemical storage, other kinds of lots for equipment or material storage will be retained. 19 area headquarters statewide potentially will not be retained as part of the footprint whereby VDOT will be directly providing maintenance. Some of those 19 facilities may become available for the private sector through leasing or other arrangements when we complete or as we move forward to complete the outsourcing of the interstate system. 17 chemical storage lots perhaps will not be retained because we probably don't need those lots anymore. 38 other lots potentially not retained. We're looking for implementation by July 1 of 2008, if we can get through that process and implement things by that time. Let me emphasize a point that Connie made. Connie referred to the outsourcing of the interstate. The process that we are going through now with respect to consolidation of area headquarters and that review, we made a determination that we were going to do that review at the same time that we are reviewing how to implement the outsourcing of the interstate system. And the reason for that is because we were concerned about employees. We want to only do this one time. We do not want to ask crew members or employees to move from location X to location Y and then 12 months later or 6 months later have to move again. So we've been very careful about that process. Approximately 600 positions statewide are being affected by this consolidation review and the outsourcing of the interstate. And by affected, I mean some effect, either through reporting to a different location, working with a different crew or a different supervisor. 425 of those 600 are affected by the area headquarters consolidation. Those are employees that are on board right now. 175 positions, and I'll emphasize positions, will be eliminated as a result of outsourcing of the interstate. But most of those positions, we have the headroom to eliminate without affecting employees. When the dust settles at the end of this implementation, it's our belief that no more than 40 to 50 employees would not have a place to work. But that's an outside maximum estimate. We believe the number will be much lower than that. I'm going to stop at this point and ask District Administrator Murtaza Salehi to talk about the details for the Culpeper District.
Thanks. Before talking about some of the local considerations and the factors that we took into consideration here in Culpeper District, I want to repeat what Gary Allen mentioned, and also Connie mentioned, about the significance and the importance and criticality of this step in our entire decision-making process. I feel that I'm responsible to repeat that, because remember, as Gary said, when all that settles, I'm responsible to provide maintenance services in this district for all the counties in the state. So at the end of the day, the resources available to us should enable me and my maintenance engineer and the resident engineer and the maintenance managers and the superintendents that we have to ensure that we provide you with the appropriate level of service. So I say that because I've had two questions received asking me whether the decision has actually been made or not about consolidation of these area headquarters. And I want to say that, emphasize that again, that that's not the case. This is a very important and critical step for the commissioner of the VDOT to make a final decision. Having said that, in addition to those criteria and the results of the study and the tools that Gary Allen talked about, the statewide results, we identified some local factors, local considerations in determining the factors that we needed to take into consideration for our... Are you joining me?
Yes.
Yes.
So if you could take a couple minutes to wrap it up, that would be wonderful.
Sure. So we talked about identifying some local factors, local considerations which would affect the final determination and the decision what area headquarters could be potentially considered for consolidation. Those are the categories and examples of the factors or local considerations that we took into consideration. Right at the top, you may call that responses or special services that are required in this entire district. As an example, we have North Anna Power Station in Louisa County, and we have an agreement with the power station, and we are responsible to respond to them and provide services in terms of support and maintenance programs and traffic operation. So our Cuckoo area headquarters, for example, in Louisa County would be very critical in providing the services for that particular power station. To some extent, the same applies to Rhodesville area headquarters in Orange County, who also covers the same requirements for that. Another special event kind of issue or a special consideration is the special events that may take place at the University of Virginia and even the city of Charlottesville. Not within the city, but the impact and the outcome will be going outside the city of Charlottesville. So that is, for example, our Moore's Tavern would be the area headquarters that would be responding to those needs and for those special events. The second category of issues that we had to take into consideration is what are the areas and the corridors of future growth and development and increasing population and the need for additional maintenance program, maintenance activities. We had, as an example again, we have 20 in eastern Orange County, significant amount of development going on, new residential programs going on, needing to have an area headquarters to respond to that in a timely manner. Again, Rhodesville area headquarters in Orange is the area headquarters, would ensure that would take place. You know about the growth of both residential and industrial in Zion Crossroads, and that our area headquarters that we have in Zion Crossroads has the responsibility of making sure that we provide appropriate level of service for all of the future population and current development that exists there. We also have what we may call the sort of a combination of what we have called the urban ring north of Charlottesville plus Crozet, which has been identified by Albemarle County as the future growth for the county, plus the Route 2250 corridor. And those three are the areas that we could not afford not to be able to provide the necessary service. And in those areas, Yancey Mills would be an area headquarters who would provide that level of service. The next local consideration is we have talked about outsourcing. We have talked about is the Virginia law passed by the General Assembly. It's our responsibility to outsource all of our maintenance activities. By 2009, in this district, we are one of the very first districts, we have implemented that, and we have outsourced the maintenance of Interstate 64 from Interstate 81 to Goochland County in Richmond. So we have an opportunity as a result of that outsourcing, we have an opportunity to utilize the resources available that we used to assign those resources for the maintenance of I-64 to assign them and redistribute them and redeploy them to other area headquarters. That's another local consideration. We call it a 64 times contract. It's the total asset management or total assistant maintenance contract. The last one, and by no means, the least important is the judgment of our maintenance manager. With all the details that exist in the analysis and development of snow removal plan and our ability to do the necessary analysis to make sure that we provide the level of service, snow removal, by the very nature of the operations and maintenance program, there are tremendous amount of uncertainties involved in terms of development of the plan. The judgment and the experience of people who have lived in this area, who have been responsible for providing those levels of service, carries a lot of weight. And that is when we had the involvement of district maintenance engineer, the resident engineer, more important than the maintenance managers who are involved. They know the area, they know the topography, they know the expectations of our customers. That judgment goes a long way in terms of making that return. So the combination of the overall lane miles and population and all of those factors that Dr. Allen mentioned, plus local consideration that we use, that enabled us to identify three area headquarters in this district, in Culpeper District, as potentially the area headquarters that we are considering for consolidation. Again, it's considering for consolidation. The decision is not that. Pre-Union is one of them. Louisa headquarters in Louisa County and East Culpeper area headquarters in that area. Let me just say that the impact, and also seven facilities that are not manned, and there are no employees within those areas, so it will be a total of considerations is being given to a total consolidation of 10 facilities, 7 for non-manned facilities and 3 area headquarters. The impact of all of that, assuming the final decision is made to do this, the impact of that would be 37 employees in this district and 42 positions, but 37 employees in this district will be affected as a result of the implementation of that. But again, affected only means some kind of a change in the reporting structure or in possibility of reporting to another person or possibly another location. So, and let me also say this. We have, as a result, over the past many months, we have created we have had a lot of opportunities to create 6% vacancy rate. As a result of the attrition that has taken place, we managed to create that opportunity of then being able, as of now, I do not see, even though 37 employees will be affected as a result of it, I do not see about us to be in need of activating layoff policy in this district. So what Dr. Gary Allen said, that there is a possibility of at the end, under the worst scenario, we have 40 or 50 people to be subject to activation of layoff policy. I don't see that as the need for this investment. Now, I said those are the three area headquarters. That doesn't mean that we will let go of our responsibility for addressing the services that the citizens are accustomed in those area headquarters for them. In Louisa area headquarters, the services that we were providing in Louisa headquarters will be provided to them by Cuckoo area headquarters and Zion Crossroads. What we will do, we will make some changes and modifications in geographical boundaries of those other area headquarters and redistribute the necessary resources and equipment to Zion Crossroads and Cuckoo. As a result of that, we will be able to cover Louisa area headquarters with the same level of service that we are supposed to. In the case of East Culpeper, the designated West Culpeper, Rhodesville, and Gordonsville as the area headquarters, again, redistribution, modification of the boundaries, the geographical boundaries of those, assigning appropriate redistribution of appropriate resources, and then providing them. Now, what's your area of interest? Let's go back to Free Union. Thank you for that. I gave you the opportunity to pause. For Free Union headquarters, we have identified three area headquarters: Yancey Mills, Standardsville, and Boyd Tavern, to basically cover the service area that Free Union used to cover. Again, plan. It's not a done deal. We are here to receive your feedback, your concerns, your comments. So, having said that, two related comments. In addition to those three area headquarters, we have a very close to the airport. It's on 606, off of 606. We have a lot. We have a facility. It's a lot of 8 acres lot. It's off, what's the name of that route?
Dickerson Road.
Off Dickerson Road. You have a six, you have an 8 acres lot, which we would currently use as what we call a staging lot and staging opportunity. We have a plan to construct two domes in that location. Now, in Free Union, we do not have a dome. We have the old equipment shop. We have a dojo. But that's a part of the thing. Now, two other related issues. We have some of activities, even in Free Union, some of our activities are currently outsourced and in line, again, with what Dr. Gary Allen said, we have the desire and the intention to improve and increase our outsourcing activities. Let me just show you one more thing, and then I'm going to ask Milton Thacker, just take a look at that, and it just shows the portion of Free Union area headquarters that will be served by Standardsville and Yancey Mills and Boyd's Tavern. You asked the question. In the last public information meeting that we had, Mr. Hayden and a couple of other people asked the question, in what ways are you going to serve us and what would be the level of service? So it just shows that approximately 51% of the lane miles of Free Union will be served by Yancey Mills, and about 35% of the lane miles, not area, of lane miles within Free Union will be served by Boyd Tavern, and about 13%. Yeah. And you can more or less see those areas where they are. Having said that, one more question you asked. You said, okay, with this operation, what is the plan of action? What is the plan of operation? Here I want to introduce again Mr. Takera, maintenance engineer, and Adam. They are here to answer some more detailed operational questions. But I want you to pay attention to some of the. And Milton is one of the is a district maintenance engineer who has spent his life in maintenance. He's gone through the ranks from the level of being a superintendent, being a maintenance manager, being a resident engineer, and he is now assistant district administrator for maintenance. So the experience and the involvement that he has and his credibility in terms of being certain that with this arrangement we are able to provide the same level of service is important.
First of all, from listening to the comments of the public input and reading some of the information that I've seen through emails and through news articles. It's my understanding that many of your concerns revolve around service and responsiveness. Is that correct?
Yes.
And I think that's rightfully so. Having worked with Kenny, with Earl, Mr. Bailey over the years, and been a superintendent for 12 years, I can appreciate the sense of the community wanting to be involved in this decision. In Charlottesville Retency, 128 lane miles on the interstate has been turned over to the TAMS contract that has been mentioned previously. That means 128 miles, lane miles of roadway is being taken care of by the contractor, which frees up units that can be deployed to other parts of the Redundancy. You may not be aware that many services, such as some surface patching, dead animal removal, tree removal, some snow removal, the installation of entrance pipes is currently contracted out. Part of my responsibilities as a district maintenance engineer is to work with the residencies to assure that they have the proper resources to do the work that they have to do. In this particular case, I've taken the opportunity to talk to Harold. I stopped by the other week. I've talked to Alan Sumter. I've talked to Billy Mayo, who is the maintenance manager at the Redundancy. I haven't talked to Kenny yet. And I have talked to Mr. Sacred, who used to work over here at Pre-Union. So some of the comments that I'm talking about in theory tonight, if this goes through, is based on my conversations with them. And it's also based on my review of the roadway system that I've done independently, riding through the area, looking at the curvature, looking at the trees, looking at the width of the road, trying to determine what type of equipment could respond to this area. No, I don't live in the community, but I'm familiar with it, having worked with Mr. Bailey and Kenny and Harold in the past. We used to come up here and do housekeeping inspections many years ago. So let's talk about some of the emergencies that we have to deal with here in Pre-Union. Snow and ice, high winds, flooding. Is that correct? Trees down. Each non-routine, and I call these non-routine events, or an unplanned event, is different and requires different responses based on the event. No two winter storms are alike. No two snowstorms are alike. Temperatures play a part in it. Traffic, time of day, available resources, those kind of things. In snow removal around the Pre-Union area, the boundaries, in theory, would adjust to those shown on the map. Now, I know everybody can't see the map. My plan was to go to the map. But if you could back me up on the slide.
Can you back us up? Back to the map.
And to the best of my ability, I will try to go by that. People up in Brown's Cove, anybody from Brown's Cove? All right? Okay. Anybody from Lick Mountain? Buck Mountain. Okay. Standardsville would sweep down now and take care of that area. Well, at least I got your juices
for them. Walk them up.
That's right. All right. Okay. And I've also learned in talking to people that, unlike some other areas, Pearl has been able to do a lot of salting of the secondary road system. main roads like 601, 614, 665, 643, those roads to maintain traffic flow during the winter months. And that will not change if we deploy units from other areas.
But you can't answer what area. You need to do a trial and error before you say what area. How do you know what area is what
the solution is
if you don't do a trial?
Would you please, I understand we're all getting restless. If you would hold comments and questions until afterwards, I'm very sorry.
And I say that because of the contract services that we have, contract services that we can obtain. If we consolidate free union, that frees up additional equipment that can be deployed to the other areas and redeployed during emergencies to this area.
I think it's time for our free union advocates. Thank you for your patience, everyone. I so appreciate it. At this point, we'd like to hear from our free union advocates. Who would like to speak first? Dave Wyatt, would you like to respond on behalf of the free union residents?
Well, I'll be real brief, and having been a former VDOT employee and all, and I've responded back at with some emails, and what I want to put on public record is a number of y'all have spoken to me, called me, and everything in the district. And I've traveled almost any place I've stopped in that district since most of the Whitehall district over the free union area. I've gotten comments about this and a major concern. I think the turnout tonight is a good indicator of the concern of the folks there. So what I would like to just say briefly is I think this is an indication of the concern here, and tonight, I would like for y'all to make your comments to VDOT rather than me spend my time reiterating a lot of things y'all have told me. So that's all.
Okay.
And may I say briefly before we hear from Dennis Rooker that VDOT has sheets back there on which they would like you to sign your name. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they would like you to sign your name. And the reason for that is that there's a record, and then they can point to see just how many people came and how many people were interested
in this. That's the public
record back there. So later on, you might want to sign that.
No. Before you leave.
Before you leave. Not now.
Can you circulate it now so we don't have to wait an hour after this?
Well, people down the back, take control and do that. Yes.
Good
that's
idea.
That's a good idea. Thank you for that. Dennis Rooker?
First, I want to thank the VDOT people for holding this meeting. They didn't have to do that. You know, they didn't have to give up their Friday night to come down here, and I really appreciate them doing that. As the gentleman sitting over in the corner, Butch Davies, our Commonwealth Transportation Board representative, he has gone to bat for this area time and time again, and I thank him for that, and I thank him for being here tonight. One of the things I think it's worth mentioning here is what we're seeing is a result of the cuts in funding for transportation in the state. They mentioned as part of their presentation that there's been a cut from $13 million, I believe, to $9 million in funding.
Thirteen thousand employees to 9,000.
That's a loss of almost one third of the workforce of VDOT. Maintenance dollars have been cut for our district, for all the districts. What we're seeing is a response by the Department of Transportation to the cuts in funding. They have to live with reality. To give you an idea of the situation with transportation funding, in 1996, we had more secondary road funds than we have this year for Albemarle County. During that period of time, the cost of construction has increased almost 300%. In real dollars for construction in this area, we have about 30% of the dollars that we had 10 years ago. And we have met with our legislators and talked about this, and I appreciate Emmett Hanger being here tonight. He's met with our board several times, and we've talked about these things. But until we get some consistent, better funding for transportation, we're going to be dealing with these kind of problems. The bridge system in throughout the state is in atrocious condition because of cuts in funding. They're seeing a situation where they're having difficulties getting the state money to match the federal money to take advantage of all the federal money that's available. So I appreciate your being out here because it shows that you care about the community. And we need to care enough to go to our legislators and demand that they solve this problem. I heard some of this presentation at the Virginia Association of Counties meeting. And one of the things that was mentioned at that meeting, one of the things that was mentioned tonight, was that they thought they could do this without a cut in levels of service. And I think one of the things that we haven't gotten yet is how that's going to happen. How is it that they can eliminate this headquarters and provide service from these various external areas and provide the same level of service that you've had over the many, many years before? I think one other issue that came up just now was them talking about opening a facility on Dickerson Road and storing equipment there and responding in certain occasions from that spot. And it certainly makes me wonder why they would open a facility on Dickerson Road.
Thank you. And that's awesome. Yes. Yes.
Yes. The question that would not to get at or looked at or answered.
Keep this one.
One other thing I think that's important to consider is that one of the reasons that's given for this, in addition to the cuts in funding, is that the interstate maintenance is being given to a private contractor. Maybe that's a good idea, but we're not anywhere near here, the interstate. So it makes me wonder why alleviating requirements for maintenance to the interstate, whether or not closing a facility this far from the interstate has anything to do, is really responsive to that condition. And I think it's important that we hear from you. Mr. Allen said that he was going to provide us, he told me just a few minutes ago, he's going to provide the county with some additional data, which I guess backs up the initial recommendations that have been made. Because at this point, we really haven't, we've gotten conclusory statements about the same level of service, but we haven't seen the background information upon which those conclusions are based. And I think we need to see this. I think that's all I have. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. I want to know why for a union. I've asked for that for 2 weeks now. I've never seen the data. We have second, as I understand it, as many lane miles as any other headquarter in the Albemarle County. So if lane miles counted, I want to know why for a union. I want to see a little chart. We have population growth. We've sent emails about the population growth. I'm sorry, I didn't see anything about Green Earliesville or Free Union on that chart in terms of population growth. They service the airport. They service about six public schools and about four private schools. I didn't see anything about considerations about what the impact is on road maintenance to be for essential employees to get to the hospitals, to get to health care facilities. I've heard a lot about budgets. I also read the opening statement on the VDOT website that said that it was a flat budget from last year. So in terms of allocating budgets, I know that happens within the state. And I don't know, but I know from my nursing background, you got to take care of your basic needs. And I think, by the way, safety first was what the motto is of the VDOT. And that you take care of the roads you got,
before you start worrying about and building out all these expansion things. You've got to maintain the infrastructure for what you've built in place. And so that's, again, one of the concerns that I would have. I've not seen a cost-benefit analysis. I have asked, what is the cost involved? What are you going to save by closing Free Union? Not gotten an answer yet. And, in fact, it may cost more money with the time, the non-productive time of the VDOT employees driving back and forth from Boyce Calvert and Yankee Mills and Sandersville. And the gas and the wear and tear and how many trips do they have to make to get to the salt? So those are kind of some little questions that I have. I also think that it said that the budget for the snow removal went up from $55 million this year to $82.6 million. That seemed to be an increase to me. So I hear a lot about budgets being cut, and I know it seems to me, too, that it costs a little bit more money when you contract out some jobs than in terms of paying it with your own employees. So those are some concerns and comments that I would like to share.
Dick?
Yeah.
Did you hear me back there?
Yeah.
All right.
That was Joanne Hayden. This is Dick Hayden.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. No, my opinion really doesn't change at all. I mean, like Joanne was saying, though, I look at our facility here. We've got the equipment, we've got the yard, we've got the people. And I'm having the same problem understanding how anybody can come up with the reasoning for moving this to another area. I just can't see the cost analysis there. Like she says, I haven't seen any cost analysis of that. So I'm really concerned about how they're going to go about making the decision. I can't understand the decision process that they're trying to use. I have not seen a comparison of Free Union with any of the other areas that they're considering. And I keep hearing about they're considering maybe closing three areas, and that's what I keep hearing, considering, but at the same time I see charts of boundaries already drawn. I see a lot of time spent selling us on the idea, but I don't see a lot of time of trying to pull the information back. I'm very concerned that we're at the 1st of December, and I keep hearing we're going to make a decision on the 15th of December. And there's a hell of a lot of data still that has to be pulled together. So,
I have a question.
Sure.
You're talking about outsourcing. These people that you're outsourcing to, you're still paying them with state dollars, are you not?
Sure. You just budget shifted.
So, I mean, you're outsourcing. How are you saving dollars?
You're not.
I mean, unless you're
Are we question and answer now?
No, but you're just
illegal immigrants who you're not paying.
Larger discussion.
Come on, stay on track.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be prejudiced. I'm not at all. But I'm trying to understand how you're saving money.
It should carry on.
How standards though service for union when you're doing it more than hour. I mean, there needs to be a test trial on this. So when it snows 2 feet, let Free Union stay home and let the Yancey Mills and Sandersville come and push our road. See how it goes.
What I think we need to do is take people's comments one at a time.
Have you finished?
And we can begin
our question and answer.
And we need to get the names of everyone when they speak, if they would identify themselves.
Mm-hmm. Who's the moderator?
I am.
Pick your hands.
Bim?
My name is Burton Webb. I live about a quarter of a mile north of the state facility. So I thank you guys for being here. Mr. Packer, I'm sorry, The school thing is very important to me. I don't know if it was part of the matrix, but if you look at the number of school days lost in inclement weather, I suspect, you know, reading the localities need to petition the state for an earlier or a pre-Labor Day starting period is based on the number of days lost. We've done that for a number of years in a row, so I suspect that we have a high incidence of that. Let's say that our green schools were closed even more. You know, this road miles is one thing. I don't know how you... The terrain is getting tall here. It takes a long time to open them to school buses, and that's a huge concern of mine. Thank you.
Hey, let me just give you an order to do. Let's keep it orderly. I'll identify who's going to speak. You raise your hand. VDOT will take the comment, and she will keep up with the time. You've got 2 minutes, if that's all right, and just make your comments and direct them to VDOT. So I'll start one in the back, one in the front and one in the back, and start off with Lewis Linda. Just stand there and turn. Identify yourself, so if they want to have a name, they should have a name on the list. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Linda Wilson. I've been in this community since 1978, and I've seen everything from a really mild winter with 75-degree Christmas days to ice storms and 30-inch snows. So you never know what's going to happen in this part of the country. Also, this whole area has a geographical feature, unlike Louisa, where you can spread out your maintenance a little bit better because it's flat. We've got the Blue Ridge, and we have to deal with what comes over that Blue Ridge every single winter. And I am more concerned about winter than summer, obviously. Although last summer when Isabel, I think it was, I didn't have electricity for 8 days because of the number of trees down. So it's year-round. But I want to say that I lived in Missouri for 8 years, 10 years. And during that 10 years, I lived 2.7 miles down a supposedly county-maintained dirt road, and I never had my snow taken off that road once, and I had to struggle to get to the paved road. And the road grader came only one time in 10 years, and smoothed it out. And I told my husband that the next place I lived, I had to be on a paved road that was going to be taken care of, even if my own driveway was a pit, which it is. But I have been completely satisfied, completely pleased, completely delighted with what I have experienced since 1978. And I can't believe you're threatening to take this away from me. And you are, because Nancy Mills doesn't care about me on Davis Shop Road. Does not. They're busy. And the people in Green County are worried about 33 and all the things that they have to deal with, and they don't care about me. And I am right behind Buff Mountain. We who live in the country have accepted certain things. We deal with them. Let me tell you some of the services that we don't get, okay? We get no public trash pickup. We pay for it. We have no recycling service because Albemarle County is no longer recycling. We have no public gas. We have no public water. We have no public sewer. We have no maintenance of private driveways where school buses turn around and churn up the gravel that I put down and I have to maintain. We have no maintenance of private drive entrances where postal carriers do the same thing. We have sketchy electrical service. We have no buried cable. It goes on and on. But what we do have is a really fine road maintenance facility, and we're pleased with that. We pay our taxpayers' money, and we're really happy with it, and we do not want you to take it away because we're not going to get service from either Yancey or Standardsville that we get from those wonderful little guys in Free Union. Thank you. Yay!
When I stand up, that means the two-minute buzzer went off. So wrap it up, okay? Let me go all the way to the back and lay it by the pole.
I haven't heard any discussion of is the residents in this area who live off of gravel roads that are state-maintained. Those are not just dangerous in the winter. Those can be dangerous all year long if they are not scraped regularly. We have school buses that travel those roads every single day. We drive those roads every single day. And it's the state responsibility to keep the washboard and the ruts and all of the other issues that happen to those travel roads down to a minimum so that we do not have accidents with buses and cars. So for us and for you, it is not just seasonal. It is year-round. And you need to keep that in mind. Not all of us live off of paved roads out here. And those are state responsibilities.
Thank you.
Could you repeat your name, ma'am?
My name is Kathleen DeBell.
Kathleen DeBell. Okay. I saw a hand right here.
Yeah. Richard McCall. Talking about respond time. A little incident come up today where a tree blew across the road on 664 Markwood Drive. 20 minutes, free union was there to cut the road out. Now, how long was it going to take Yancey Mills or Boris Tavern to come here and cut the road out?
Yeah. Okay, I got one in the back. I saw your hand back there. Keith.
My name is Keith Forward. I've known DDOT employee, practically all my life, Merle Gibson, Pooh Bailey, all the old guys, and they have pinned it down from one generation to the other, a crew of men that have served us in our area and have done a fine job. And if we can pay $13.5 million to go from one place to the other on the interstate, I surely hope that we can pay to keep 11 men and one supervisor, Harold Gentry and his crew, in free union. Thank you.
Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go on this side, up in the front, and I'll go on the right back is next.
Okay. My name is Joe Samuels, and I'm a resident of free union. The mountains are a big issue for us in safety. But more than that, in about a 5 or 6 county area, Free Union is the most heavily developed rural area there is. So when you talk about Yancey's Mill, where they're all going to be occupied with Pantops and Glenmore, the Old Trail, when you talk about Boyd Tavern, they're going to be occupied with Pantops and Glenmore. So Free Union is already a heavily developed area, and we can debate the chicken and egg about infrastructure and development all we want, but here we are. We've got a lot of 1.5 lane roads. A lot of which are up and down in the mountains. So if you abolish the free union location, then you'll have to bring it back sooner or later because the other places you're going to have to grow as well. And we just need the people here to take care of us as we are.
Somebody over here? I'm just looking over. Okay, let me go back in the back, and I'll come back in, please. Followed by the poll. What's your name? I'm sorry.
My name is James Buffett.
Okay, I'm coming up to the front. Mr. Bailey here. I'll get you next, man.
I'm John E. Pooh Bailey. I started work in 1945 for the highway, and I moved from Earlyfield to Free Union in 1951 October. Helped build the shed twice. The first we moved the old sheds from 29 South, Whitehall, and Earlyfield. That was a big deal then, all over the state, consolidation. Well, we thought we got them in good areas. Well, the interstate come through. Batesville was too close, but to close that one, that was necessary. But anyway, I've seen a lot of changes, a lot of stuff. I lost my wife a few weeks ago, but I hate to see my shed go. Not mine, but...
I want you all to know that Mr. Laney is Claude Garber's uncle.
Claude Garber grew up here, worked in his in the
first work to over the day.
No clue for a long time.
Yes, sir.
I'll take the yes, ma'am. Right here, I'll get you back.
Hi,
you
I'm Melissa Johnson. I still haven't heard VDOT explain how they're going to justify standards for pushing our roads right here to Free Union. No numbers, nothing. What's the data there?
Yeah.
We want to take this. No.
Can't answer it, can you?
No.
Will you answer?
I'll talk to VDOT after we finish this and try to get some kind of response.
They're going to give a presentation, but they can't answer that question.
Right.
That's a very specific question that they should really answer.
Okay, what we'll do is I'll let them decide. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get everybody to respond, and then I'll consult with them and what they desire. Over here, Lansing.
Show us the name.
Jim Lansing, resident here. I already agree with all these other very local issues because I live here. But I think there's some unintended consequences that also concerns me. And the question simply is, has there been any impact study done on how this affects the tourism industry that comes through this entire county? There's over 1 million folks that come through this county and spend money here. We don't need to see that kind of industry impact that will affect jobs, will affect revenues, et cetera. To the county and to the state by reducing what is otherwise a relatively good level of service here in the county.
Okay, Bob, no, I'll go in the back. I got a lady all the way up at the bottom of the steps.
Marjorie Shiflett.
What's your first name?
Marjorie Shiflett.
Marjorie Shiflett, okay.
Dr. Bruce Campbell was here and asked me to make a comment. He has 40 to 50 patients a day that travel the roads and come to his office. All of them say thanks for the good roads, man, and that he would like for the VDOT guys here to know that, and that we would like to keep them that way, because I go the other way to the hospital every day and have for 40 years, and I have not missed one day because of bad roads.
Wow.
Okay. Coming back up to the front, I got the lady over here.
I'm Mason Fogg, and I would like to know if you closed this station down here, what would happen to that property? Would it be a station where you would store things, you know, equipment, so they can be used here, or what happens to it? Because we... It's a little, just a little piece of property that could something bad could happen to.
Going in the back, the fellow raised his hand. William?
Basically the same question this lady just had. I want to point out that this is not a state-owned property and it's not bringing it back to them. We'll be converted to private property. And I know some of these facilities are taken way back.
Not that you respond. I'll let VDOT respond to that. No problem. Anybody in the front three row? Yes, sir, right here.
My name is Harold Hyde. I live up in Brownscoe. And one year there was a big fire up there on the house. 3 o'clock in the morning, ice. And it wasn't for this crew here getting that salt down. That fire truck wouldn't have got to that house. I mean, it's rough. If you lose this period, you might as well take the fire department away. I mean, that's something you got to look for.
Get it back. I believe the late Key Ford's wife.
My name is Margaret Moffin, and we're going to talk about growth in the
area. I'd like to point out that my in-laws, Pepper and Della Moffin, have been here all their lives. This area has grown by 15 pounds. I'd like to ask a couple of questions, and I understood this to be a question and answer period. So if two folks, Gary Allen and Connie Sorrell, actually three, I guess, and Mortessa Salahi, have said that this is not already decided, that we're having these meetings to hear from you. So my question is, had the Haydens not picked up this ball and kicked the hell out of it, when were you going to have a meeting for us to speak what we need to speak? Could you answer that question? When was the planned time, if December 15th is the date that you're going to make a decision? When were you going to have a meeting out here? And then the last thing I'd like to say is that while it's very important to get to the schools and to get to the fires, I live on Free Union Road in a little brick ranch that I love. And when we have 1 inch of snow on Free Union Road, it's plowed because those guys need to get to a lot of other areas. And that means that Mike Moffin can get to the local store to open it up to serve the people of the community. And you can't tell me, or perhaps you can, but I don't believe you, that if this shop is closed, which I feel very strongly, you guys can understand it shouldn't be, you can't tell me that another shop in another location is going to be able to get here. If we get an inch in an hour, they're out there. You can get to work. Is that going to happen? If Hoy Tavern or one of these other places is going to be able to work, will you be able to match the standard that we now have? So now I'm going to be quiet and let you answer those two questions. Thank you very much.
Yeah, this is supposed to be question and answer.
I'll tell you what, we're going to run this like at the end, if VDOT wants to respond to some of the questions and everything, rather than individually go along, because we want to get your comments. So.
I think we've got five people here.
We're here to get answers.
Yeah. I know. But
well, kudos if we don't get answers.
Okay, I'll let them respond at the end after we get all the comments. Go in the back. Right there. Yeah, either one of you men right there, sit together.
I just wanted to point out that since you're asking the question, that I will tell you what I'm here, and that is a lane mile is not the same thing. Out here, a lane mile is up and down on topography. We're more heavily forested, therefore shade, more ice. I was forced to buy a four-wheel drive just to live out here. This is not the same thing to say, well, we've got more lane miles somewhere else. Everybody has a right. We all pay taxes. You're discounting our service. When are you going to discount my taxes along with it? You know, you should at least take into consideration. Your whole presentation is based on growth and development. And, you know, I don't think any of us in here believes that the service is going to be the same. Why don't you come out and simply say, we don't have enough tax money to give you the service that you deserve. And you guys are out in the streets. If you look at your map over there, Free Union, take that off of that. There's this great big void there next to Orange County and more void over there. You're creating a giant void in the middle. Maybe there are fewer residents here than in more heavily populated areas. But we're basically going to be screwed. You know what?
Can I get you to... What is it, ma'am?
Toby Coyado.
Toby Coyado. She must know it. Okay, up in the front.
I'm sort of.
Okay, Judy up.
Hi, I'm Judy Goff. I live up on Ridge Road and Bennington Road. While I'm a native of Albemarle County, I am a relative newcomer to Free Union. I've only lived here 27 years, so for most of you all, that's a newcomer. My question is, and I've worked for local government for 30 years, so I know a little bit about finance and what governments do. My question is, if you're going to transfer these guys to another area, where's the savings? You already own the land.
Yes.
So what's left if pre-union to have to pay other than the utilities?
If you answer no other question, could you answer that one?
I don't understand what the savings is unless you are absolutely going to get rid of these 11 men.
We will answer that.
All right, and the other comment I would like to make is I am appalled at VDOT. My grandfather was the superintendent of Louisa County Department of Highways for 40 years. He was one of the longest serving superintendents in the state, and he would be appalled at what you all are doing here tonight.
Some of y'all couldn't hear it, but at the end, VDOT responded to some of the questions or the questions, so I'm going to turn it back. I had this fellow sitting here beside Tony. Right here.
I'm Charlie Foster. I'm now a resident of the Union. I have no experience whenever I
move. Welcome.
But I have spent a bunch of time following safety issues, and it seems to me that it's very easy emotionally for us to beat up VDOT. That is not the question. The gentleman on the Board of Supervisors represented what started to bring this up. The state doesn't have the money. The reason the state doesn't have the money is because Senator Hanger and others have not provided the money for transportation. I find it ironic that this group of rural citizens is in the same camp with all the folks from Northern Virginia who are screaming for transportation solutions. We are rural, they are heavily congested, but we all have to face it. There is not enough money to provide the transportation that we want in this Commonwealth, and it's up to us to go out and get it done through our elected officials that go to Richmond. Now, having said that, I do commend everybody here for trying to be the most favored child of this unfortunate situation. Maybe we'll win. But if we win, are we going to go over to Stattersville? Are we going to help Yancey Mills?
Yes.
See there?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, we will.
Yeah. We ought to all fight together on this. And for those who say they don't care about Yancey Mills or Stattersville, they should. Because mm-hmm. they should be caring about us.
Sure.
So that's my point.
And I'll come to the back next.
Okay. Ann Malik, I'm representing the Earlsville Area Residents League, which is about 1,800 families at the northern end of where the folks here at the depot take care of us. Mr. Bailey parked his trucks in our farmyard. He used it as a staging area for many, many years. We are a long way from everywhere, and there's no way I can drive my hay truck to Boyd Tavern in under an hour, and the same thing goes to Yancey Mills. So, in bad weather, it seems absolutely inconceivable that it would be efficient for them to be hauling sand and taking care of it. And I just really hope that you keep it.
Okay. How many families were you representing?
Well, there are 1,800 in the district that we use.
In Earl.
Yes.
Earl Group, EARL. Okay, someone in the back. Okay, by the map.
My name's Jim McConnell. I live up near Gordon Stewart. I'm a business manager by trade. And generally, when projects like this are undertaken, long and lengthy process, generally, they're projects that can't be acted on in 2 weeks. I would like to know why Ms. Hayden hasn't been able to get your business study for this cutback. It seems to me that perhaps it's already a done deal. If that's the case, we as citizens have a right to see what has been decided.
Yes, ma'am, you've been waiting patiently. I'm sorry.
I'm on the E line, but it's spelled with a U. I'm one of the EMTs in Earlyville Volunteer Fire Company. We have some other volunteers with other companies here, Dyke represented, who, when my house burns on Davis Shop, they are second responders. They're actually pulled from my house. Don't tell my insurance company. We have several volunteer fire companies represented here. and they help us, we help them. But I've been on the roads many times when I've been called out, and VDOT has kept those roads clear for me. And all of our, when we go on the road at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're putting ourselves at risk just to help somebody else, but that's what we want to do. We need these roads available for our emergency responders, not just people going to work. We're part of it, too.
Lady up on the steps.
Carolyn Lawler. I'm the director of the Clean and Country School. The school has been in the community for 23 years, and I'd like to speak on behalf of the 92 children who attend and want to go to school. We have had very few snow days throughout my 10 years here. We'd love to keep it that way. Our kids want to come to school, and yet we are concerned with the safety. Always tell our parents, only come if you feel safe in bringing your child to school. We do not have school buses, and we have missed very few days, and we thank the facility for making that possible.
My name is Denise Colgado. And my husband and I moved to Free Union in July last year. And in August last year, our homeowner's policy was canceled because we are 8.5 miles away from the nearest fire department. I piggyback on what Ms. Elon said. We're 8.5 miles in good weather away from emergency services. We were trying to get a pond pump put into the pond in front of our house that would help us in a fire. But mostly we will probably watch our house burn to the ground. In bad weather, it would be even worse.
I'm going to back. I'll come back to you. The fellow with the green shirt on. What? Not you, Junior. Sit down.
My name's
David
Moore. I
want to
make sure
you're
going to hear me up there. You didn't hear most of us back here today. But I've been living in this area all my life. I'm 42 years old. These guys bust their butt every day, not only in the cold, not in the hot weather as well, scraping the dirt roads in this area. There's plenty of trees off. And you guys cannot sit there and tell me that you're going to pull somebody from Boyd's Cabin, Standardsville, or wherever else you're going to go, Yanceyville, and it's going to be cheaper on the state and the taxpayers that we're paying to have them come over, maybe 3 or 4 days late. The other comment I'd like to note is all the guys that are on the board here, the maintenance managers and all this other good stuff y'all been talking about here from FEMA, are any of the state departments in your area closing down?
In fact, Free Union is mine.
Well, Free Union?
Oh, so it's closing?
All I did was he asked a question, which I responded.
clean the ditches or scrape the roads down before they get to you guys, right?
Okay. Yeah, they're going to respond at the end to the other questions. Yes, sir, over here.
All right, I am Jim Kerr. I've been with VDOT for a union for approximately 20-some years. And the problem I have is the outsourcing. This is your system. This is fine. So we outsourced the interstate to a contractor, which approximately was 120, 180 miles, whatever you said it was. Therefore, Yancey Mills and Boyd's Tavern no longer has to maintain that interstate, which takes the burden off of their employees, where they can be used to do their regular roads. Why should they lost a burden? They lost 200 miles between the two. We keep gaining every year. Why should we have to go help them?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this backwards?
Yeah.
Why should we have to keep gaining miles? They are losing 100 miles each, but yet we have to go help them and forget everything we're doing and all these people. And like the other gentleman said, how can we possibly
economically run a truck from Boyd's Tavern to here and not lose money. We are here. It's this, these people, it's their money. I mean, to me, it's backwards. Thank you.
Union, did you want to speak?
Yeah.
I'll get the word. All
right.
I want to know when I'm getting my fence posted.
Yes, ma'am, right up there.
About the outsourcing myself, how you're going to save money by outsourcing. Why can't we just use some of the employees at Free Union for some of the outsourcing? And I want to know why, or if you took any consideration of how many doctors and teachers live in this area. I work for UVA, and I know a lot of the physicians live here in Free Union and live in Earlysville, and they have to make it to UVA. They cannot call in. Also, want to know if you took a death total of how many people have died on our roads compared to these other counties. We do have dangerous roads, and I know there has been a lot of deaths on Guards Road, and a lot of it has been caused by the weather, and I want to know if you've taken that into consideration. And that's it.
There was somebody right there behind Junior. Yes, sir.
My name is Matthew Wallenborn. I live up in Tipler Hollow, and from what I understand, we're serviced by Stanford. And it seems like we're one of the last areas to get service. And if that's the case, I feel sorry for the people.
Morris over here.
My name is Ronnie Morris, and I live between Brown's Cove and White Hall on the dead end of the dirt road, and Davis will be with the road. And I know Harold has been calling real often. Almost every time we have a good hard thunderstorm, that road has to be graded. And I can't imagine from Batesville or from Yancey Mill a grader coming every time we have a thunderstorm to grade our road, much less from Stannisville. So I guess we'll be stuck back there and not be able to get out for the ruts.
Hey, Rodney.
My name is Rodney Richmond. I'm with the Crozet Fire Department. And a lot of the planning that we do at the response time, getting there as fast as we can, is safe. In regards to what we just said right there about these dirt roads, there's a lot of them here that we run with fire trucks. After some storms, they are barely passable with fire trucks. We beat cars, and they're not really safe. And one of our concerns, I guess, we're going to be watching that close, is because we have such a large response area, is the response time going to be cut? Is it going to get longer for us? This doesn't make it safer for citizens of this county either. And it's also a concern for us that we have to prove that we're in danger of our lives also. Yes, sir.
My name is Walter Jacob. If it sounds like we don't believe you, it's because we don't, and please don't take it personally, because what you've done is you've come here and said, we're from the government, we're here to help, and trust us. Presumably, in determining which to close and which to open and so on, y'all have crunched a lot of numbers of highway miles and how long it takes to respond now, and how long does it take to respond once it's moved. I don't know why we can't see those numbers. We're having a discussion where you're saying, believe us, and we're saying, believe us. You all must have the numbers. Just show them to us. And maybe then we'll believe you. Presumably they're good numbers.
Anyone else?
Yes, sir. My name is Harry Landers. And in the beginning presentation, I think we heard that the level of service that we would get under this plan would be unchanged. And I just want to be sure that the assumptions that I've got are right. Maybe you can offer some clarification later, because I think when it comes to snow, my understanding is that level of service has to do with service standards that VDOT has now for clearing snow. And I think it means main highways one day, secondary roads 2 days, tertiary roads, dirt roads 3 days. So when they say that we'll get the same level of service, that's the level of service. I think the difference is we're being lowballed because we get better service than that now.
Yeah.
So I think it's worth clarifying. When you say the same service, does that mean you'll meet those minimum standards or you'll meet the level of service that we get now? It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I'm Charlie Durbin. I moved here 27 or 28 years ago, so I'm a newcomer. I've been living in the same place almost as long as your road. And I insisted when I moved to this rural environment that my wife allow me to buy a four-wheel drive truck. I still drive that truck. It's a 78 Ford Bronco, the big one. And I could count on one hand the number of times I've needed that sucker to get to work. I work at the University of Virginia. I've got to get in. There's no question. I'll walk if I have to. And I wasted my money on that truck. I can get there because of the service we get. And I echo what you said. I'll also tell you that probably 15 or 20% of the physicians and nurses do live in this area. And we count on that main road, that Free Union Road, being open when the snow starts falling. And we've never been disappointed. So if you're going to provide us the service, if you're going to provide public safety for the rest of the state because Virginia UVA is a trauma center, we've got to get there. We've got to provide service for other areas, not just for the Post and Free Union. We service that institution through those roads. If you can do that, hats off to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Nancy McNeil. I'm wondering if you plan to maintain the same level of service with all these outlying facilities. Don't they have to plow themselves at first?
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name's Robert Lexa, and I noticed on your slide number 6 in the list of considerations, the methods that you looked at when you did this analysis, I didn't see any consideration for energy use when you go to a centralized system versus a diversified system. And the other thing I would like to see, too, is a risk analysis. Anytime you invest, you know, your financial planner says diversify. You know, well, why do you do that? Because it's safer. So I think we need to look at the energy use, the spending of time moving equipment and materials over longer distances without performing useful work, as well as the risk. You've heard specific examples, but I think you should look at the total system of a centralized versus diversified.
Okay, the man with the cowboy hat on. What was your name?
I'm sorry.
Mark Shipper.
And I'm Mr. E.J. Carpenter. One of the criteria that you have as a captain for that in the UVA in Oakland was they help work special attention to UVA. So I'm here to tell you, I wasn't just a major major.
With time, anybody, one more? Just one. Okay, Junior?
I'm
going
to be out working. I want to thank all of y'all for coming today.
I want to reiterate this, Junior. Let me just thank, I want to thank y'all for coming. I mean, the public getting involved. I want, also, we need
we're
to thank
done.
T-Doc for coming here. For,
not time.
But also... Yeah. We got folks over here, yeah, fellow citizens, who worked and coordinated with VDOT to set this up, and I really appreciate that effort in that.